We're up to Perek Tes Pasuk Yud. We're up to the Pasuk on page 134. Okay, page 134. Kanovim Bamidbar. Hashem, this Pasuk describes Hashem originally in the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Hashem had incredible joy, tremendous simcha over Klal Yisrael. And the pasuk here gives a mashal. What is an example of a person experiencing joy? So you would say today, if a person, he wins a lottery, a person has some type of a very great success. His child gets, he has a child, or he has nachas from his children. So it's not what it says. So the simcha that Hashem says is like finding grapes in the desert. Okay, so grapes, according to the Mefarshim, we'll see, is the most valuable commodity. It's the most delicious, it's the most, it's considered to be the most valuable commodity. And the desert is the place where it's the least likely you would find grapes. You never find grapes. Therefore, if a person is going in the hot, scorching desert and you find some luscious grapes, it's the unexpected. And it's not just the unexpected, you found something which is delicious. In the desert, it's hot, you're tired, you're weak, and you find delicious grapes, the simcha is unimaginable. And that's what the pasuk compares Klal Yisrael. So that's what Hashem says about, it's a very beautiful idea. Hashem says that basically the world is in one big midbar. It's in one big massive desert. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu discovered Klal Yisrael, Lechtech Acharai Babidu B'Yeretz Loi Zerua, and the emuna that Klal Yisrael put in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was like Hashem found grapes, a person would find grapes, Kanovim Bamibar, Motsasi Yisrael, Hashem says, I found the Jewish people. Then the next expression is Kivikura Bisaino Bireshisa. Another example, the second example over here is like a fig tree. And not just a fig tree, Kivikura Bitain, like the blossoming, like Bikurim. Bikurim means that Bikurim, we know Rashi says the person when a person wants to prepare for Bikurim, he goes out in the field, the time when his fruit, his orchard, when the fruits begin to bud, and he looks for the first fig, and he takes a blade of grass, and he ties a blade of grass around the fig to make a sign, this is Bikurim. This is the first fig which has budded, which has blossomed, and I will bring this to the base HaMikdash, from the basket, and give it to the Kohen. So here it passes again, so Kivikura B'Te'ina, when a farmer goes in Bereshisa, when a farmer goes into it, or I don't know what we call a farmer, a person who owns an orchard, he goes into the orchard and he sees that his figs have begun to bud, it brings him great joy. Hashem says that when he witnessed, he saw Klal Yisrael, he found, he discovered the nation of Klal Yisrael, and he saw them begin to bud like a fig. So that's what Hashem says, Ro'isi avos seichem, that is how I view the seeing your forefathers. Heima, and this is the joy that I had in Klal Yisrael.
Discovered or unexpectedly or out of nowhere. What do you mean?
By that, I guess it means that Hashem never. I don't know. Hashem knows the future, right? Hashem, this is the age old question.
Even without that, the fact that he has been with us in our formation all along. He's surprised that we turned out okay, at least at that point in time.
It's saying better. We turned out much better than we expected.
Why is that? Yeah, really?
Yes.
Much better than expected?
Yes, yes. You see, we have a problem. We have to realize that the Torah, we have a persecution complex. Because the Torah is always super magnifying the smallest imperfection in Klal Yisrael, so we think we're so bad.
No, that's not what I'm getting. What I'm getting at is this surprise on the part of Hashem that,
Yes, it's a surprise. Kavi Yochel, this is what Hosea says. Now, I've seen one of the Midrashim, we're going to come across it soon, that Hosea was an extremist. The worst Chazal said, this is the measure we're going to read soon. The most severe Musar in the entire Tanakh. The most.
Obviously, he's about to express disappointment.
Right, well, he's building, we're going to see, there's a lot going on here, but before we even get to that, we have to understand something, that Hoshea, from all of the Nevi'im, he's the one that said, even worse than Yirmiyah, he said the most bitter, stinging words of Musa. And Zeh Le'uma Zeh, so we're going to read the Medrash soon, Zeh Le'uma Zeh, he also said about Klal Yisrael the most beautiful things. Hoshea really is off the charts. So you're right. Hashem over here is saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when He discovered us, it was like basically far, far better than Hashem ever expected would come from us. It's a very nice compliment. Obviously, we're so used to all the Musar and all the trouble. But he's saying that when Hashem discovered Klal Yisrael at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, it was like finding grapes, luscious grapes in the desert. You never in your wildest dreams would expect in the hot, arid, scorching desert to find luscious grapes. Wow, what a find. That's exactly how Hoshea expressed Hashem's joy and satisfaction in Klal Yisrael. And then there's another satisfaction which requires hesber when a farmer goes out into the orchard. I don't know if that's the right word. A farmer, orchard, and farmer, is that the right word? That's,
yeah. Yeah. So it's a fruit tree.
The farmer, you use the word farmer for a tree?
No, is that the right? If you're growing fruits, it's an orchard.
No, but
I know it's an orchard. It's not. Person.
It's a vineyard and a vintner.
That's for wine. What about what? That's what about figs? Figs. Figs is an orchard. Yes. What's the person who tends the figs? What is he called?
A farmer.
A farmer, yeah.
A figure.
A figure? There must be a fancy word.
A figurehead.
There must be a farmer. At our my mind is always associated with grain, right? With grain, wheat, barley, spelt, oats, rye.
The reason is because most farmers make,
but in the vineyard, you don't call the person who tends the wine a farmer?
Sure.
Yeah? Okay.
No, the one who tends the wine, but not who tends the grapes. The grape tender is the farmer.
He's also a farmer, okay.
The vintner makes the grape, makes the wine.
Okay, fine. So the farmer here, he goes out into the vineyard, and he goes out into the orchard, and he discovers luscious figs. So it's a very great simcha. I guess the simcha here is, I think maybe the idea over here is this is expected. But even though it's expected, you're always worried it's not going to turn out the way you expect. It appears there are two different examples over here. The first example of grapes in a desert is, I never expected. This was not part of the plan. When you go to the desert, you go to Saudi Arabia, you don't expect to find there a vineyard of
cactus.
You're not going to find the grapes. This is off the charts. And then there are times in life where you work very, very hard. You have an orchard. And I work it. I fertilize it, and I prune, and I do many, many different things. And you hope for the best. But experience teaches a person that usually, okay, usually things do not work out. You hope for the best, but it's not too common that things work out according. And here is, it's better than you thought. You come into the vineyard after all of your hard work. You're satisfied that you have achieved your mission. Your hard work has paid off. You have something to show for yourself. Okay, so this is what it says. That's the second example. Kivikura b'seino. It's not unexpected, but this derech hateva. You work and it's going to produce, and indeed you have succeeded. Bereishisa. This all took place in the beginning of the nation, of the formation of Klal Yisrael, Re'isi Avoy Seichem, and now the pasuk, this is a very long pasuk, it shifts. And what happened? Heimo Bohu Val Pa'ar, the Jewish people, they went and they worshipped the idol of Pa'ar, Vayinazru LaBoishes, they turned backwards, they distanced themselves to worship idols, which is called Boishes, Vayiyush Shikutzim Ge'ohavam, and they became disgusting in their love for idols. So that first of all, we have to appreciate over here, this is a very fascinating passage. Here we discussed in the beginning of Klal Yisrael, the very formation of Klal Yisrael, of Yitzias Mitzrayim, when Hashem first discovered Klal Yisrael, And the pasuk is teaching us that we betrayed Hashem. Hashem was so happy with us, so satisfied with how we have developed, and we very quickly betrayed Hashem and went to worship idols. The pasuk goes further to tell us exactly what type of idol we worship. We worship the idol of Baal Peor. Anyone now learning Daf Yomi? The Sechta Avodah Zarah, you look at all different idols. There's Marcolis, and there is all these different types of idols. Who knows what they are? But it's very interesting is that the pasuk is telling us a record. The idol that was the Nisayon for Klal Yisrael at the time of their formation was Peor. When they came into Eretz Yisrael, there was the Baal, and there was Digoin, and what are the things come to mind? Baal was always a big issue. Pinchas, Hara Carmel, Imla Hashem, Luchu Acharav, Imla Baal, Luchu Acharav. Okay, in the Mitzrayim, there was the Yor. So we're just throwing around the most basic terms. What is Baal? What does the Yor represent? What does Marcolis represent? What does Digoin represent? All right. It's not important. But here the pasuk does say that the Avodah Zarah, that was the challenge to Klal Yisrael at the time of their formation, was Peor. Now, okay, and that's a very powerful statement. And the truth is, it's also very interesting, which we don't give much attention to. When Moshe Rabbeinu died, it's very, very strange. Moshe Rabbeinu died, Hashem buries him. Hashem is Vayikbar, Hashem Bagai. Mul Beis Peor. We have to mention Peor when Moshe Rabbeinu's death. I mean, come on. If you were writing these psukim, the last thing on your mind. We don't know where Moshe. V'lo yada ish es kivurosay ad hayoyim hazeh. So if no one knows where he's buried, so what are you telling me over here? Mul Beis Peor. I mean, what's going on over here? And you have to tell me Avodah Zarah. Peor is Avodah Zarah. My high. It's a very, so what is the answer? The answer is there's a lot of depth, and this is very good for Pesach. It's all about, Inyan and the Yoyma, is Chazal said, what is Par? Par is the famous story in the Gemara, is where a person went in, was traveling on the road, he stopped off at a motel, and he discovered Par, and he went in, and the way they worship Par is defecating in front of Par. You go and you lay waste in the presence of Par. And there was a person there that went and did his thing on the nose of Par. And the priest said, wow, we're going to give you the gold medal for the worship of Par. You get the gold. No one ever in all the time that I've been a priest in this church of Par did such hiddur mitzvah by worshiping Par in such a fashion by relieving himself on the nose of Par. It's disgusting. This is totally nauseating to read about this. What is the answer? So this is not my idea. Everyone says the same idea. And there's a lot of insight into what Yitzias Mitzrayim is all about and what it means, the Kor HaBarzel, Avodim Hayinu. The answer is the whole essence, every Avodah Zarah represents an ideology. Koychiv Yoitzim Yodi, Mazel, the ideology of Par is Hefkeros.
Anything goes,
exactly. There is no such thing as discipline. Discipline, kovod, is what does it mean, a person has dignity? What is dignity? Dignity is musar. Restraint. Musar. Musar is a person, there's a way you behave, and there's a way you don't behave. If something happens, it's done in a dignified way. Your body is covered, you stand, you sit. There's a mode of conduct amongst men. And the more a person is dignified, the greater he shows is the ish mechubad. The goyim, they didn't like this because discipline takes a lot of work. It's a lifelong project. It's a lifelong project. And Rishol Salanter, the whole essence of Rishol Salanter was to restore Musar to Klal Yisrael. He saw Musar was slipping. This is the age-old debate between Rav Chaim Soloveitchik and Rishol Salanter. Does a Ben Torah need to learn Musar? I think it was Rav Chaim, who was before Rav Chaim? So what was the issue? The issue was they would say that Torah is a segula. This was the expression. Torah is a segula, and Musar is a refuah. If you learn Torah, You got it all. You got it all. You are shalem. Musar offer the sick people. If someone is sick, he learned musar. Musar is a refuah. But a healthy young person who is a budding Talmud Chacham does not need to spend his time learning. Does not need to spend his time learning musar. This was the shita. This was the very
the
vlajin. So they did not spend a moment on learning musar. You learn Torah, mimela you got it all. Mimela you'll be a shalem. And Shaul Slanta disagreed. He held that adrava. Mamish Musar was the Iker. Musar, if I'm not mistaken, is even more important than learning Torah. The Iker taft of coming into this world, Yishol Slanta held, was to be Masakein your Midas. And Torah is just a tool for that. Torah is just a learning Torah Lishma, you know, Torah, but Torah is just a way through which a person is Masakein his Midas. Yeah.
Shaul Slanta said different. He says
Takatayra
is the main thing, but you cannot get there.
Okay, it's different nuance.
Without the Tikkun Amidus, you cannot get Takatayra
okay.
Without.
But some go even further. Some go even mamish. Yeah, okay, maybe you don't want to divide Torah. You don't want to put Torah Chas V'Shalom to make a secondary. But this expression that the Iker Tafik of coming to this world is to be Mesakin your Midas. This was a belief that was held by the Bali Musar. Kelm, Slobodka, and Ervardik, each one had their derech and Musar. There was a derech. Slobodka was a place of Musar. It was a living approach.
Any yeshiva that had someone called the altar was a
Musa yeshiva. Musa yeshiva. So this was the yeshiva. You know, one thing
Kelm, Ervardik, and Slobodka.
And Chaim Lin, they used to have 10 minute Musa seder before Mincha. So they used to call it, the late Sodom would call it. So did people really learn during those 10 minutes? Not really. What?
15 minutes after
Mincha. After Mincha, that'd be better.
15 minutes, 40 to 3 o'clock. Musa. Karpis Halavavos or whatever, Basilas Yisharim, whatever we were up to, but you had to really do it.
You had to really do it, okay. Give you tests on it?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be good.
The other idea was that you learn with Musa, but you had to learn Musa with his fibers.
What does that mean?
You have to put yourself just
like a Mishol Salanta. Okay, that's the difference. The technique of learning Musa, but the shir was over, and after shir was over, you go down to the base medrash, and then for 10 minutes, because Rashi was in the front. Rashi looked at everyone. Everyone was very scared. So no one shmooze. There was no. It was quiet. So you just made believe you were learning Musa. You sat there with your head down, and you learned Chumash. Or you think about what are you doing, what's for lunch, or you know, you just look at the sitter, you just twiddle your thumbs. Some people they talk to learn Musa. How much can you really learn? Because by the time you sit down and talk to the Klaf and Mincha, but one thing for sure it did. One thing I gotta tell you that it really made a relationship change me forever is it prepared you for Mincha. Just sitting Chasidim Rishonim, Hayushoyim, Shoha Achas. That simply means what? An hour. Not necessarily. Shoha means a moment. Shachas before davening, shachas after davening. One thing about that Musa Seder, I have to tell you, I don't think I ever learned Musa. I used to have these like, little Deskel books. I never learned the classics. I used to have these English books. I used to learn that sometimes. But one thing I always got, I used to learn Perish HaTfila. I always cheated, always. But one thing I always got out of it, it always was Meichin you for Mincha. There's no doubt about it. You come to Mincha 10 minutes early, you just sit down and do nothing. Nothing. Just sit down and twiddle your thumbs, it's a different mincha. Because your mind decompresses. Your mind, sitting and doing nothing for 10 minutes, gets you in a frame of mind. Okay, now we're going to Ashrei Yoshev Veisacha. Compared to running in from the street when they're ready in the middle of the Salat Shemona Esrei. It's a different world. A different world. It's a shame that Chazal were not Mesakin, that you're not Yoytze Mincha, unless you take a sit down and do nothing for 5 minutes. It would be a different world today, because the people had to first just sit and do nothing for 5 minutes before they dive in. Automatically, your mind just decompresses, and your mind already automatically gets into a mode, okay, we're going to do something serious now. But anyway, I'm sure the jokers would say, it's a 10-minute moment of silence. in honor of the death of the Musar movement. Right? Now they have moments of silence. This soldier has fallen, has given up. We're going to mourn his death. But not just mourning of Ishol Salanta. We're mourning the movement because there's no Musar today. Musar, forget it. Out the door. Who really appreciates what Musar is? You know, I recently read his biography. It's a fantastic, there's not much, you know, one of his biographies, there are many biographies. But one of the things he wanted to do, he wanted to make 500. This I've never seen in America. I've seen everything. This you've never seen. Ishol Salanta established where he lived, which he ran between Russia and Germany, maybe, or
yeah,
Germany.
Russia was Germany.
Germany, but then he went north. He went to Russia.
Oh, Dresden.
What?
North.
He went up north. He used to travel back and forth. He had different shtetls, different locations. He was all over. He had this obsession with establishing, I think, what they call a Musar shtibel. You know what
he
a Musar
shtibel?
He had, and he established many Musar.
Right?
So what is a Musar shtibel? It doesn't exist today. Today they're bate kinesios, bate midrashim, and bate kinesios, bate midrashim, and they're also he had that's it. That's what we have today. He had places where the only thing you're allowed to do in this room is learn Musar. The walls are stacked with the Musar svarim. There's no Gemara. There's no Mishnayos. There's no Chumash. The only thing you do in this makom is learn Musar. They had rooms, they had chedar like this. His goal was to establish throughout Europe and Russia 500 Musar shtibloch. Can you imagine such a thing? The only thing you do in this room is learn Musar, nothing but Musar. Now his technique also from his Rebbe, he learned from his Rebbe, was repetition. You take a pasuk, an idea, and you repeat it a million times, like an OCD. What?
That was the idea of learning
Musar from his finest. Right. So you repeat it. You say it out loud, and you repeat it a million times. You repeat it again and again and again and again. Mamish, they would lock you up today, put you in a psychiatric ward for this. They would think you're an OCD to do this. But that was his technique. That was the technique. That was the technique. Okay. Okay. So. Okay, so that was going back to the bar. Okay, Ishol Salanta, his entire approach was a Musar shtibel. So what is Pa'ar? Pa'ar is the absence of Musar. The lack of Musar. Who in the entire Torah, all of the Ishiyat Tanakh, was the greatest Baal Musar, the one who, who is the Rabbi Ishol Salanta of the Ishiyat Tanakh? The Torah tells us, the Torah was masked Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayikbar Oysoi Bagai, Mul Beis Pa'ar. Who is Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu, he was buried opposite Beis Pa'ar. Moshe Rabbeinu's entire essence was to be a disciplined person. And that's why he was buried opposite Beis Pa'ar. And that was the Hesped. Pa'ar represents the essence of Hefkeres, a life of Hefkeres. Everything goes. Yeah.
Overlaps with what you're saying, that it's the idea that man is absolutely nothing. So, it's a fancy word for it, but it means...
What's the fancy word?
Self-abnegation.
Okay.
So, since man is basically nothing, as evidenced by the worship form that he exhibits, and therefore, since he's nothing and insignificant, that allows for the hefkeres, that allows for...
You don't have to account for yourself.
So if nothing matters, then anything goes, you see.
Okay, So that was part. Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem was maspid Moshe Rabbeinu, that he was buried mul beis Par. Moshe Rabbeinu was the complete diametric opposite of Par. Par is hefkerus. Moshe was the ultimate Baal Musar, the man of discipline, and that's the most beautiful husband you can possibly give by the person. He was a dignified person, Ish Mechubad. Ish Mechubad, he was the Baal Musar, he was buried mul beis Par. So now the question over here is, so therefore, over here this passing Hashem has come to teach us an incredible new story. Moshe Rabbeinu, with his whole essence, was mul beis Par. And Moshe was the one who took us out of Mitzrayim. He was the one who was the Goyal. Moshe Rabbeinu was training Klal Yisrael to be like him, to go in his way, to be in his image, to be men of discipline, to be a nation of discipline. What is a slave? Why were we in Mitzrayim for 210 years? It's the Kor HaBarzel. It was training ground. What is a slave? A slave is follow orders. A slave, the essence of a slave is to be disciplined. You go to Buckingham Palace, and what do they do there? They sit there like robots. It's an incredible talent to be disciplined, not to twitch. To do exactly, to follow the rules, go even to Washington D.C., the changing of the guard. When we were kids, we had to go there, the guys to make the sun is try to get the guys to left, right? The guards, and they don't twitch. There's discipline. Moshe Rabbeinu took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim and to mold them in his image to be men of discipline. Egypt was a place where we were trained in the Kor HaBarzel to achieve a degree of discipline. And the pasuk over here says, in this Hoshea over here, at first he says the ultimate compliment is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw in us far greater than he ever imagined. Like grapes in the desert, like putting in work and coming and seeing, my efforts, my nurturing has come to fruition with this example of grapes that are figs that have blossomed. And yet what did you do? You betrayed me. You went all the way backwards. And you became attached to Pa'ar. I sent you to Egypt for 210 years to learn what it means to be a slave, to be disciplined. And now, from all of the idols you go and you worship Pa'ar, you become a life of Hefker. You just let yourself loose. It's the ultimate failure. Here we start off with the ultimate compliment. Way, way beyond my wildest expectations. And now we swing all the way to the other extreme. You're the ultimate failure that we can possibly expect. I sent you Moshe to take you out of Egypt, who was mul beis Par. And I sent you to Egypt to be a place to learn how to be a slave. And now what did you do? You went bohu val Par. You went to Baal Par. Vayinozru laboishes. And you went backwards. That's also a very powerful word. What do you mean the word vayinozru? Nozru doesn't just mean it means to go backwards. You were going forwards, you were achieving, you were being successful, and now by worshipping Baal Par, you're going back to where you came from. The only reason why you went to Mitzrayim is to be disciplined. Now by loosening yourself, your morals and your values, you're going backwards. And you became disgusting in your love for this idol. Now let's take a look over here at the Mitzudos David. And by the way, what we do yesterday, did we finish over here Pasuk Tes, all different ideas in Pasuk Tes? Well, we did enough, so it doesn't matter. Let's go further. Let's make sure we do at least the Rashis. Can we do the Rashis in the Pasuk Tes? I don't remember. We actually didn't do the Rashis. We'll do the two Pesukim together, okay? Let's review Pasuk Tes and Yud together. So let's just work through the Mitzudos David, Pasuk Tes and Yud together. And we just did the Mitzudos. We didn't do the Rashis. We did Rashi. Okay, fine. All right, so fine. Let's just do the Pasuk Yud. Let's go Pasuk Yud further. Pasuk Yud in the Mitzudos David says, "Kanam Damidbar." A person finds in the desert grapes. As a place which is shamim, it's desolate, and the grapes are very, very precious. Cain likewise matzasi as his shoulder with similar laymar. Cain hayu chavim olai beis mitzasim lilam. So to the Jewish people were precious to me. With similar laymar, Cain hayu chavim olai beis mitzasim lilam. They were precious to me when I found them in the desert, in the place that is unexpected. The pasuk test. the next page, page 136, like a fig, hamivusheles that ripens the ilan hateina rishonu lekulan, which is the first one to ripen among all of the fruits. That's what it says in Parshas Kisavon. I think we started with in the beginning in Parshas Kisavon when the farmer, he plans to bring the kurim. He goes into the field, into the orchard, and he witnesses a fig that begins to ripen, and he ties the blade of grass around the fig to indicate as a sign that this is what I'm going to bring to Hashem. Re'isi avoy seichem, ritzoin loymar. This means to say, I had incredible joy when I saw your forefathers following my ways, just like the farmer who witnesses to see that the fig is blossoming according to the plan. And what did they do? They betrayed me. They went to Baal Pa'ar, and they did something disgusting by worshiping the Sadayi Shikutsim Bahalam. They became disgusting in the love of the Oz Hoyu Shikutsim Umito Avim Be'inai. Ke'erech Ahavasam Shohafti. Now, here we say, I told you a different shot. Maybe someone else over here says it. But he learns over here, Ke'ahavam Zel Umazet. It was Mida Kenegamida, that the hatred, the disgustingness of what they have done is equal to the love that I had for them in the very beginning. It's, in other words, and it's an extreme degree of disgust. They became so disgusting, equal in the other opposite end of the spectrum to the love I had for them when they were good to me. That's pretty serious stuff, because we're talking about a parent. A parent is not even capable of hating their child. Right? Isn't that true? A parent loves their child. And there are different degrees of love that a parent has for a child. But when a child does not follow in the ways of the parent, and the parent is angry and upset, how angry and upset does a parent ever get in the worst scenario? Does it go down to the madrega? Does it ever go on the spectrum of love and hate? Does it ever go anywhere? If you were able to make measurements of love, a parent can have for his child love, let's say, we'll put on a scale of 1 to 10. It can go up to 10. Sometimes it hovers over 5, right? 3, 2. Okay? Then the child angers the parent, there's something horrible. And the parent has a parent has for the child disgust. Does it ever go to a negative 10? Never. Correct? Never does. Right, okay. So it never reaches down to that level. So therefore, never happened. Exactly. So therefore, this it never reaches down to that example. So therefore, it just doesn't happen. Here, Hashem is telling us that our actions were so disgusting. It was zel umazeh. Hashem had for us a degree of love, let's say if we put in numbers, number 10, the hatred and the disgust that he had for us when we worshipped idols went all the way down to number 10. Okay, so this is how the Mitsudos, David learned Shat and the Pasik. That's how we go back and forth. They went back to the Bayeches, so you could sim kavam. And they became disgusting in my eyes, ki'ahavam, equal to the measure of love I had for them when they were doing my will. Okay, so this is the way Mitzudos from Shat in the Pasik Yud. Let's take a look over here at Rashi. Rashi says, ki'anovim ba'midbar, ki'anovim shehim
ha... The anovim that we were looking at is karmim. It's a word in
a vineyard? What?
Karmim.
The one who tends the vineyard.
It's not called wine growers and karmim, people who clean.
The karmim, the people who tend the vineyard. And what is the word for the person who tends the orchard? It must be a special word.
I didn't look that one up.
Okay. Ka'anavim ba'midbar, ka'anavim shehem chavivim ba'midbar, koch hi Balti es Yisrael, like grapes, which are precious in the desert. Okay, like grapes which are precious in the desert. Kach hibavti es Yisrael. I had a tremendous love for Klal Yisrael, for Klal Yisrael. Okay, next words in Rashi. Rashi, ki vikura b'te'ena, mivushelas b'te'ena b'etza te'ena, like a fig that blossoms in a field. Mivushelas b'te'ena b'etza te'ena. So over here, Rashi, this is a grammatical expression over here, that like a fig which becomes ripened in an orchard. Be'etza te'ena. Over here on the Sfadi, right, over here, there's a mistake in the girsa. Ki vikura he says that instead of the hay, it should say a base. It should say kiteena hamavushelas. Alright, whatever. Let's leave this for whatever. This idea here is like a fig which ripens in the orchard. Bereishi sarashi betchilas bishul hateinim. Next words. Reisi avosechem keinir avosechem beinai lechavam. I had an incredible love for your forefathers. Vayinazru. Ein nezira b'chol makom ela l'shoyn perisha. Nezira means to depart. La boishes la avoida zara shehi boshtam. This is very common. Chazal always use the term. They always use the term la boishes to refer to avoida zara is the ultimate embarrassment. Okay, next words. Vayi shikutzim lefonai. They became disgusting before me. Now here Rashi learns not like the Mitsudois, an entirely different interpretation. Akadosh Baruch Hu, we became disgusting in Akadosh Baruch Hu's eyes when we were nichshol in arayos. So according to Rashi, there are two sins. There is the sin of avodah zarah and the sin of gilui arayos. Okay, so these—that's what Rashi says. Not like according to the Pesach, this stuff. When it's the Pesach Havam, the pasuk is only discussing one sin, the sin of worshiping Baal Peor, and the pasuk is telling us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hatred, disgust for us, was when we worship Baal Peor, was equal on the other side of the spectrum, the love He had for us when we served Him, when we first became part of His nation. However, Rashi disagrees. Rashi disagrees. Rashi holds that there are two separate sins taking place over here. There is the sin of Avodah Zarah, and there is the sin of Gilui Arayos.
They go together.
This is another Chazal. Chazal tell us that the only reason why the Jewish people worship idols, there's another famous Chazal that's what I'm getting to, is a license to be nichshol in Gilui Arayos. The ultimate goal is Gilui Arayos. It's not really a serious matter. That was yesterday's daf. Yesterday in the daf in Avodah Zarah, what did it say? That if an army comes into town, if it's a time of war, so the rule is when a city is overcome by an army, so if they come into your house, you do not have to suspect they touched the wine because they're too busy fighting for their lives. They're too busy in war to get involved in pouring wine for Avodah Zarah. Okay. However, then the Gemara is a kasha, but we have a halach that if an army comes into town and they have yichud with Nashim, the Nashim, we assume they were nichshol that they were raped by the army, and the nafkamin is that Kohanim, if they're the wives of the Kohanim, are no longer permitted to their wives, and any woman that had yichud with the goy can never get married to a Kohen. In fact, the Gemara, what's the chilek? When it comes to Yayin, if there's war, there's no suspicion, they touch the wine. But when it comes to Nashim, it's the same war. They're fighting for their lives. Any moment in time they may be killed. So why when it comes to war, when it comes to Nashim? They have time for. So what does that go to show? The ultimate goal, the ultimate Yetzirah is the Yetzirah for Nashim. The Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah is minor, insignificant relative to the goal of Arayos. Goes across. So what is connected to Lesachmoid? What is Lesachmoid Eishes Chanerich? What is that? What's that? That is Lois Sachmoid is what? Kabed is it's the last one. It's Kabed. The last one is Lois Sachmoid. Lois Sachmoid is number 10, and the bottom is Kabed Esavikum Yasimecha. Shabbos the three. Shabbos is four. I'm sorry, Shabbos is four. And three is Lesisa Shishamal Shaf. Anochi Lo Yilcha Lesisa. Lesisa. Shabbos. And then is Kadei Desavicha V'yasimecha. So Kadei Desavicha V'yasimecha corresponds to Loi Sachmoy. But Lesachmoy is not this. Lesachmoy is not necessarily Arayis. That's not, that, that's a, it's a different, Lesach, it's a different thing. It's not, Arayis is not, there's a Lesachmoy on property as well. Okay, let's put that aside. Yeah, but okay, well, here the Chazal say the purpose, the Chazal tell us the purpose of Avodah Zarah is in order to be nichshol in, is to be, make a license to create a new ideology where a person is allowed to be mezaneh with an eshes ish or all those related matters. So according to the Rashi, that's exactly what the pasuk of you're saying. That I've seen what you've done. You've attached yourself to Baal Pa'ar. They have a desire which anything goes in all in order for the purpose as a hakdama the nozru. You can separate yourself from Hashem, laboishes, to do embarrassing things. Avodah Zarah, she says, v'yu shikutzim ke'avam. Then you became disgusting when you went forward in your plan of being nichshol in eshes ish. Rashi clearly puts these two together. Like Chazal, the purpose of Avodah Zarah is to create a new ideology where you're allowed to be nichshol in arayos. Oh, so he quotes over here. That's the Chazal. Let's read the Chazal right now. Excellent. Look at the over here. It's a very long Likud. Yishal, we're going to go through very quickly. Everyone knows, but it's good to see it inside. Once in a while, a little Chazar is good once in a while. So let's see this inside the Pasuk. Get over here on page 137 on the bottom. Likud Yishas, the Midrash HaTanoim. Kanavim Bamidbar Motsasi Yisrael Haroya Anav Machalom Yashkiv Yom Nefis. This is the first this is a Chazal. Interesting. I think we have a much greater appreciation now that we've learned these two in Hosea. It takes on a whole new meaning. If a person sees grapes in his dream, Yashkin the Yoimar, Ka'anovin by Midbar, you shall say this pasuk that the vision, Kol ha'chaloimois holchim achar hapeh, all dreams depend upon its interpretation. So a person himself, when he wakes up in the morning, should give his dream a positive interpretation. And how do you do so? You associate images and concepts in your dream with psukim in Tanakh.
What did you say?
I'm saying page 137 on the bottom. Pasuk Yud. On the bottom, Likutei Shas Midrashei HaTanoim. Haroye Anovim Bachaloim Yashkin V'yoymar Ka'anovim Bamidbar. You should say this pasuk. Koidem sheyakdemenu pasuk acher anovemo inve rosh pasuk in Devar, which says that their grapes are grapes of bitterness. Rosh is rosh, like rosh of poor. What? Bitter. It's a bitter. Right. Rosh is something very, very bitter, which also is the root of the word rosh is of rosh is rosh. Rosh limbo. Why is his name rosh when he is a multi one of the richest people in America? Teretz is teaching America. Hashem is teaching America wealth. Wealth is not money.
That's exactly what it's saying.
Rabbi Chol is a great guy. He's a great guy. I don't disagree with you. He's a great guy, but he's not a role model. You have to differentiate between his ideas. His ideas are phenomenal. He's mamash. He's the conscience of America. But as a person, he's not a role model. He's not a role model. The things that come out of his mouth, and midos is just despicable.
He likes what? To play golf. So
it's despicable. Right? Despicable. Things that the way he talks, what he says about people, just no, so right. He's not. There's Pirkei Avos. Our goal is Pirkei Avos, midos, Musa. The goal is, if you want to learn Pirkei Avos, you know, there are so many people in this world we could use Pirkei Avos as an example. Whatever it says in Pirkei Avos, this person is just the opposite. There are so many people out there that you can use as examples. Okay, let's go by Kanovim by Midbar Sadifa person. This part Anovemo Inve Rosh. So that's a very bad pasuk where we associate grapes with something horrible. A person should give a positive interpretation to his dream. So I never appreciated this Chazal until we learned this pasuk here in Hosea. Because now when you read this pasuk, he says over here, Bamidbar, Ka'anav Bamidbar. You learn over here this whole pasuk of here that Kadosh Baruch Hu, you see the Mefarsh Kadosh Baruch Hu is expressing extreme joy in Klal Yisrael. You have developed, you have become far, far greater than I ever expected. Far, far greater. So it's a very beautiful pasuk, an incredible idea of a tremendous simcha. And now when a person has a dream, the Chazal are telling us, you shall take this pasuk and associate this pasuk with what it says here in order to bring out, to interpret your dream in a positive way. Okay, next. I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong page. Okay, the next Chazal. Okay, next Chazal. Yimsei be'eretz midbar. Elu Yisrael Shenemar Kanavim Bamidbar Matzasi Yisrael. Like I explained to you, finding grapes in the desert. The metaphor is that Klal Yisrael were the grapes in Lechtech Acharai Bamidbar. Okay, next words. Heima Bo Baupar Vinazru Laboishes Vayu Shikutzim Ke'ohava. So here is the Chazal from which Rashi drew his interpretation. Rashi summarized the entire thing here in two words. When really it's a very long shtickle gemara. Let's read it very quickly. Hinani hoylich liami lucho yatzcha asher yaseh ha'amazel liamcha. Bilam says to Balak, I have failed in your request to curse Klal Yisrael. But listen, it wasn't for nothing. I'll give you advice. I'll tell you what to do in order that you prevail over the Jewish people. To make a long story short, because them to be nichshol in gilui arayos. Okay, hirni holach liami lecho yatzcha asher yasa amazel yamcha. Amar lochem Bilam said to Balak, Elokehem shel elu soinei zimuhu. The gods of the Jewish, detest. It's a very powerful concept of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are certain sins which we are nichshol. Let's say we're not nizrim kashrus. We're not so makbid to have a good hechsher on our food. It does not say anywhere, b'chol ha-Torah kulo, anywhere in Kabbalah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates us. He's soine the fact that we ate food without the best hechsher. We bought food with a questionable hechsher. We didn't eat glad kosher, we ate only kosher. Okay, we only ate kosher, we didn't glad kosher. Nowhere does it say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is soine.
Where does it say that he hates
Zimba? What? Right here. Amar Elohim, this is the Chazal. This is the Chazal quote. This shel elu. What's the source? I don't know the answer. I don't know. Well, I don't know. But Chazal say this. There must be a source.
Well, the Malbim. Yeah. The Malbim, I assume. But the Malbim makes a very good thing.
Yeah.
The reason that the Mice of Shlomo's Bas Devri is mentioned in the Chumash, it's a good point to show that in 40 years, this was the only time it happened. That's the Malbim. That's the purpose of saying
once, right? The only time. But where do you actually see in the past that HaKadosh Baruch Hu use this expression? I don't know, there must be. If the Chazal are quoting this, they're making this statement, he's saying this, I'm looking for Farshim on the Medrash, okay, I'm sure we can find the source for what it says here in this Chazal. Elokehem shel elu soni zimihu, vehem misavim l'chle pishtan, and I also know the Jewish people, they're materialistic. Incredible psychological plan. What? they're materialistic. Clay Pishtan was a metaphor in time of Chazal for materialism. Pishtan is the very expensive, beautiful clothing. It's just a metaphor. They like nice houses. They like marble. They like chandeliers. They like the good
zero
life. What?
Zero refrigerators.
What's that?
Sub-zero.
What's that? What's a sub-zero here? It's a brand?
The compressor is on top instead of on the back. So you can make the refrigerator flush with the cabinets.
The compressors where?
Under the
mattress.
Aha, okay, fine, whatever it is. They like, so therefore, I'll give you a solution. Use one against the other. Take advantage of their vulnerability of loving, being materialistic, in order, as a technique, as an opening, to cause them to be nichshol in arayos, and that way you'll be able to overcome them. So what did he do? So look at this wicked, wicked technique. I'll give you advice. Asay lohen ohole kiloim. Make, now he told them to make tents. make tents out in the street with curtains. For Chayshe Bechem Zoynais, and all the way inside put Zoynais, young women who are beautiful, which would cause the Jewish people to be near, the boys to be nichshol. However, don't hide them. Put on the outside some old 100-year-old ladies. Zikena v'chutz v'yaldim v'fnim. The zikena is therefore, that's not a yet. There's no yetzar for the zikena. It's on the outside and the yaldim v'fnim. The yimkunu lochem klei pishna. Let them go and put up their wares. We're selling beautiful things. So the boys came. They want to buy some nice things. Also lochem kiloy mehar shelek ad beis hayishimais. So these are two locations, obviously very far apart, and they set up shops. They set up malls, all for the purpose, only one thing they had in mind to set up these malls, an incredible technique. They spent millions of dollars to set up malls that would not make a profit. Okay? They would not make a profit. And why did they? It was just a facade. It was just a facade in order to get the young men to come and be nichshol in arayos. And they put in zekenas, the zoynas, exact like the plan. When they were in a good mood, so again they're vulnerable. They ate, they drank. It was yom tif. They're in a good mood. They're not on their best behavior. They're not guarding themselves. An old lady, 100 years old, wrinkled and hunchback. And a woman that men would never have a yetzara for, she says to the young boy, would you like, I have the latest smartphone, iPhone 10, for half price. How would you like it? Wouldn't you like the latest gadget? Half price. So then she offered the offer. And then the young girl, so they already got interested in buying the object. And then from inside, the Yalda, the young girl, you see the boy, I'll give it to you for even less than what they're giving. I'll give it to you for 25% of the price.
Even better
merchandise, mm-hmm. Even better prices. The Yalda Meres Lebubim Pachas. And then they would go inside. And no one was watching because they were sheltered. And then she would, she would seduce him. The how you also see my cane, staying the shalish part, and took time. There's a lot of psychology here. Two or three times, the achkach and meres loy had sira hare at kiven bias. You've come to already buy my merchandise so many times. Sit down. Let me give you something to eat.
Good customer.
Let me give you something to eat before they turned around. What happened? Meshev biror liatzmacha v'tzirtzure noider shel yayin imay yayin amoni munach etzla potent wine. This to avid this amoni. I guess that was the wine that Amon Moyov, Lloyd's two daughters. Okay, they it was only through one that he became a Paris. Okay, a very powerful, potent wine. Vadayin loy nesa yayin shel nochem, and this was before yayin nesach was osus. So here you see one of the reasons why Chazal instituted the prohibition of yayin nesach. Amar loy, so she said to him, "Ritzoncha shetishtei kol shel yayin kevan sheshasa bar bo yetzahara." Once he began to drink, the Yetzirah began to burn. Amalah Hashmili, she seduced him. Hayitzia Yerasa, she then took out her idol. Selam of the Zar Shalom Yitachayka, Amalah, and she said to the young boy, Avor Lezeh, before we do an Aver, I want you to worship this idol. Amalah, I can't. Hello, Yehudiani. Amalah, Umayach Maslach, Klum of Akshem Mecha Ella Pure. What do I want? I just want you to go to the Beis Hakisei. What I want from you, the Beis Hakisei, who ain't a yodesh avo the zav b'kach, he does not know that going to the Beis Hakisei in the presence of this idol, that's the way you worship the idol. Akach chaysa masifa, v'loy oid ella she'eni man choscha ad she'tichba b'taras Moshe Rabcha. This, the slippery slope syndrome. You start off with something very, very small, and before you turn around, it becomes, it builds up. Shnem rahim abo ba'al par, v'yinazhu l'vayishas v'yishikutsim k'havam, and it became disgusting, shikutsim k'havam, they became disgusting in their love for these nashim. Okay, then there's yazir a nazir el b'chamakim ala perisha. It means to separate. V'chenu oimer v'yinazhu b'mikat shei b'nei yishol v'oimer v'him bo el ba'al par v'yinazhu l'boishas. Now, by the way, when we follow our rule that we always mention here in the shir is that we have a word, and the word always means opposites. Yishrosh, yisharesh, yiskol, yisakel. So now we have an appreciation of the word, what it means to be a nazir. A yinazir, a person that for 30 days does not drink wine, does not eat the product of the grape, product of the vineyard, and does not come in contact with the dead. What's the goal? What's the purpose? A nazir means to come close to Hashem. If the word va-yi-nazru, when you take the same word and you change the vowels, you change the form, and it means to go away, to distance yourself from an object, something. Obviously, when you use it in a different form, the same exact letters with different vowels, then it means to go forward, to come close, to serve Hashem. Okay, that's how we learn Shandabas. Let's look at the Malm. Rabbi Meshki is the Malm. Okay, it's a very beautiful idea. The Malm talks about the Zima over here. That he's learning along the parish of Rashi and the Chazal. Let's go to Pasuk Yud in the Malbum. Where does it start? It starts in the previous page. Okay, I have to go back to the previous page. On page 135. Okay, like a person finds grapes in the Midbar in a place where they're very precious. I'm sorry. Malbum, page 135. Regarding what it says, regarding what the Zarev is nus b'nei ha'giva, sha'al kein yiska avaynam, oymer sheyilmedu kal v'chem imash shehenish es yotzei Mitzrayim. We can learn, okay, this is a very important Malbum. The Malbum here is telling Klal Yisrael, watch out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really going to come on, going to punish you very severely, because we're going to make a kal v'chemer. Look at Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. There was no generation which was more beloved, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the nation who went out of Mitzrayim. Yet, when they sinned against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did Hashem do to them? Hashem caused them all to die in the desert. They suffered severely. Now you would think, a person you love so much, you give a pass. You have a very, very good student, and he does something very bad, so you're going to give him a pass. If you have a son that's very, very good, is not there, you give him a pass. So you would expect the Kadosh Baruch Hu, since the love for Klal Yisrael in the desert, for Klal Yisrael was so intense, was so great, it was Kadam the Midbar, you would expect the Kadosh Baruch Hu, to give Klal Yisrael a pass and not punish them so severely. But it didn't happen. Hashem punished them very, very severely. Therefore, al achas kama v'kama, how much more so does will HaKadosh Baruch Hu punish you in this generation who are not with the program, who are worshiping idols and are problematic? So let's run through this very quickly. Let's run through this very quickly over here. So, Kal v'choy, one more time. Sheshchisu darkam ba'avodah zarah, v'almash amar, sheshchisu darkam ba'avodah zarah, v'znushkim ya'giva, v'shal kein yisqa avodah, amar yishyum du kal v'choy, v'yishyum. That's the key words here. The key words of the Malbim, which break open the pshat in this pasuk wide open, are the words, sheyilmedu kal v'choy mer mimash shehenish es yoytzei mitzrayim al avoyim pa'ar, for the sin of pa'ar, v'yal ha'zinus, in b'noy smayav. Look what happened there. Hagam shedor hahu hayu chashuvim v'korim be'enei Hashem. There was no generation that was more beloved and precious in the eyes of Hashem. V'kol shekein sheyanish oisam. And yet, what did Hashem do to that generation? Hashem punished them severely. They died in the desert. Al achas kama v'kama will HaKadosh Baruch Hu punish you who are not so chaviv in His eyes. V'kol shekein sheyanish oisam shem kalim v'nivzim be'inav in Hashem's eyes. Al avoynos eile omer haloi. On these things we write, ka'anavim ba'midbar motzasi Yisrael be'esh motzasi Yisrael ba'midbar. And now he's elaborating. When I found the Jewish people in the desert, look at these beautiful words. Hayu yukarim be'inai kimi shemaitzei anavim. Like a person finds grapes, shukupri hayoyser choshu b'midbar. Okay, so he writes here that the anav is an example of the most precious fruit in the desert. She'enei mokam zer v'gefen u'te'enot. It's not a place where you would expect it. Uritzer l'lai mashu, hoyu hakenem arishan shedot Hashem. Klal Yisrael is the first vineyard. commercial cost of Gevin Mitzrayim Tassia. Okay, whatever that means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we would consider, we call the Gefen of Egypt. We, Klaishon in Egypt, we call, it's called the Gefen. V'inei, Ho'anavim Ein Mekavim Harkava. Now he's discussing another concept, that our Gefen does not accept grafting. V'prad Anavim Bamidbar Shem Bilti Mukavim, grapes in the desert are not grafted. K'mok Kein Hoyu Oz Yishol Kidoshim Nisodim Min Aznus. So now he's really going on to a new concept. And this is a new concept. And so he's over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to praise Klal Yishol. We are like grapes in the desert. What does it mean, grapes in the desert? Desert grapes, the Malam is telling us, in the world of botany, does not, from all of the different items, is the one that excels in not being grafted, cannot physically, is not mekabel harkava. Other types of fruits, some yes, some not, some more, some less, but desert grapes, impossible. The praise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu here is giving Klal Yisrael is that you were desert grapes, pure. You were not nichshol in arayos in the 210 years that you lived in Egypt. That is off the charts. Being that Mitzrayim is called the Ervas Haaretz. It was the Las Vegas of the free world. And yet, you live there in the heart of this community, of this place, the Ervas Haaretz, and it was, you were like desert grapes. Okay, now the whole new pshat here, a whole insight to the beauty of Klal Yisrael. Chazal was the only one that was nichshol, and wasn't even, she was nichshol, she was raped. Was Shloimis Bas Divri, Achas Chaisa, she's the only one, the Egyptian was bore upon her. That was the fight with Dosan Vaviram. Then she was the only exception. Likewise, a fig is also very precious. The one that ripens first is very precious. A lot of firsts. It's the most precious of the fruits also, and it ripens first. Because then it's the only, why is it so precious? Because that's the only one that's precious. It's the first one, that's all I have. So here the Malam is giving this beautiful perush. We're chosh of mitzad hamokoim, the location, in mitzad hazman, shechol aleim hu'inyin, ho'eloki, berishayna, be'oyra choshach kisos aretz, arafa la'umim. The whole world was living in the dark. They were all idolaters, pagans. And we were the first to recognize that there is a creator. So we are the first, we are special in Mokoyim. And we are, with the example of Mezul, saying a new idea. Desert grapes, it's a Mokoyim. We are special in Mokoyim. I guess we have Eretz Yisrael. We are special in being the first nation to recognize the Hashem's existence. And yet he goes on to say, V'chol zeh. And despite the chavivus Hashem they had in Klal Yisrael, Agam Shri Chashuv Me'od Etzli, Heima Bo Balpar Kavam, they went and they worship Balpar Kavam in their love to the Lema, Gam Heima in Kol Chashivusam, they in all of their chashivus in Kavam, Kashavu as Benois Moyav, when they went to go and be Nichshol Narayos, Ali they came Midchi El Dchi. They were pushed from place to place till ultimately they went into Golis. Shaydei came bo beis pa'or. They went from there to beis pa'or. K'mo shenemar, v'yochel amal iznois in benois mo'yov. V'ali they came. That's what the Chazal, we read along Chazal. V'atikrena lo'om lezivchei eloi heihen, which is pa'or. V'yidei ze, v'yinozhu laboiches. K'mo shenemar, v'yochel lo'om v'yishach l'elohen. V'yidei ze, v'yishikutsim shashikits Hashem. V'yisom Hashem detested them. Amoas bohem. K'mo shenemar, v'yichar Hashem Yisrael v'chozehoye b'kavom. Al Yedei She'ohavu es b'nois mo'yof. So therefore, now he goes in for the finale. He now winds down. Ato now, dun kal v'choymer, judge a kal v'choymer. In heimok yohavam b'nois mo'yof. If they in heimok yohavam b'nois mo'yof nasu shikutzim. If they love the Bnei Smoya, because the people who left Egypt, they loved the Bnei Smoya, they became detestable in the eyes of Hashem, even though they were so beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem did not have rachmanis upon them because of their sins. and Hashem punished them, how much more so will Hashem punish you for your horrible sins? You're not going to get a special pass. So that's the big picture of the pasuk, and in the process, the Malma has brought out incredibly soidas, is that Klal Yisrael are compared to desert grapes, and the metaphor of a desert grape is something which is not mikabel harkova. Klal Yisrael is pure to its core. Okay, we're going to stop now for this part. Before we start, I want to make an important point announcement, okay?